You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Come on around back with us, Arizona homeowners, and let's get ready to talk trees. It's the second Saturday of the month, so if you have a tree question, tree or shrub, you can call in right now, no matter where in the great state of Arizona you're listening to, at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. If you have a picture, you want help with plant identification, you can snap a photo and email it to info@rosieonthehouse.com, or you can text to 411-923, and I'll get you in touch with Mr. John Eisenhower, ISA certified arborist and owner of Integrity Tree Service, who is our Talking Trees monthly host. He is actually broadcasting in the studio of KTIR in Phoenix. We're standing on the lawn of the U of A Mall in Tucson at the Festival of Books, where we're broadcasting live today. So if you happen to be in the Tucson market, you come by here and we've got an extra headset for you and slap it on you. You can talk to Mr. Eisenhower right back in the studio. And let's see, where are we going to? Are we going to start with the talking tree notes, or are we going to start with our tree of the month?
Well, I'm just really encouraged that there's such technological assistance we have through the amazing.
You're glad you didn't have to drive to Tucson this morning, is what you're saying.
Well, yeah, sort of. I would have loved to have come down there. I really wanted to.
I know you were planning on it.
Part of that book fair. I actually last week, that was the plan. But no, this works out great. But it's so nice to be able to be in touch through the airwaves this morning. And we can start wherever you want to start. We've got a lot of talking points, talking trees, tips to talk about today, seasonal stuff that's relative to our turning the corner into spring. Tree of the month is the sweet acacia, which we chose for this time of year because it's one of those early spring blooming trees, and it's in full display right now, full glory. Those who have these sweet acacias, I remember the first time I smelled one, I stepped out of my car one day and I said, "What's that wonderful fragrance?" And it was a sweet acacia right outside my truck door. And on closer observation, it's a beautiful tree at the same time. It's got these real little golden puffballs about 3/8 of an inch in diameter. And when they come into bloom, they're one of those trees that really stand out on the streets right now. As I was getting off the freeway off the 51 southbound on Glendale, you pull up in that left-hand turn lane to turn on toward Lincoln Drive, and the whole exit ramp is lined with a beautiful sweet acacias in full bloom. I snapped a couple pictures. I bet some people were wondering what I was doing waiting there in line to make that turn. But no, it's beautiful. It's one of my favorite trees this time of year. And what I like about sweet acacias, Romy, is that they're a relatively smaller tree. And as people have been listening to this show for a long time know, I like those smaller, more compact trees that you can that are more adaptable to many of our locations in our smaller yards, where we can't really handle a full-size mesquite tree or a large hybrid Palo Verde or even an ironwood. But these sweet acacias are kind of that in-between size, a little bit shorter in stature. Maybe they max out at 15 to 20 feet as opposed to 35 or 40. So you can get them in those smaller areas and really enjoy them. And, of course, they have that really fragrant bloom. Drawbacks, downsides of a sweet acacia is they do produce quite a bit of litter. And that yellow puffball bloom ends up on the ground. So if you have understory plants, probably not the best choice to put over your aloes or some cacti, where the small blooms will get caught up in all the smaller plants. And they also produce a seed pod. But if you've got a little bit of room for them and you don't mind a little bit of litter in the late spring and early summer, it's a really cool tree. You should take a look at it for all those benefits I just described.
The sweet acacia, if you are in the Phoenix area on the exit, southbound 51, Glendale exit, that's a row of in-bloom sweet acacias right now.
Yeah, and as you're driving around town, just look for the bright yellow tree now. It's got a dark green leaf and a dark brown bark. So it's very easy to identify as opposed to the Palo Verdes and others that have a lighter green leaf. This is a dark green leaf tree, dark brown bark, and then this brilliant contrasting yellow bloom. And you'll see the little puffballs. They look like kicks, about the size of kick cereal, and they're bright yellow, and they're cool. I love them. They're one of my favorite trees this time of year.
So that's the sweet acacia, and I received my Talking Trees newsletter earlier this month with a full article on it. I'm sure I could find that at itreeservice.com.
Yeah, there's a lot of other articles of value at our website, itreeservice.com. A lot of fact sheets in there about irrigation, about planting, about pruning, avoiding sunburn, which is another topic we want to talk a little bit about today. Looking at people are asking me right now, what do I do with my pruning of my trees? And of course, this is a time of year when trees are putting on a lot of new foliage, and it's time that we can begin to prune a little more aggressively with our frost sensitive trees. But you need to be careful, especially with citrus, that you don't over prune them and end up exposing them to too much sunlight. As we mentioned last month, some citrus and other smooth bark trees, if they're allowed to receive direct sunlight for 2 or 3 hours without interruption, you will get sunburn on those branches. So be real careful. Citrus like to be left alone. A little bit of minor grooming, a little nipping and tucking here and there to kind of keep them in shape. But don't open up the canopy and allow that sunlight to get to any part of the bark for too long a period of time, or you will get some sunburn.
And they produce on old growth. So if you want a full harvest, I'd be very,
very careful about
very minor on your on your interior. Like you said, you want a good harvest if you've got the citrus for food.
That's right. And what we recommend is, of course, removing a dead wood. You get a lot of accumulation of dead wood that builds up on the inside. As the trees get larger, they shade the interior, and then the trees will tend to give up on those non-productive branches that aren't receiving the sunlight that the outer branches are. And as a result, you get a buildup of deadwood that accumulates over the years. And that can be safely taken out of the trees at any time, and it makes harvesting the fruit a little easier. So with citrus, we recommend removing the deadwood, and then a little bit of light thinning on the interior can be done to help you to harvest the fruit more easily. But just be careful you don't gut the entire inside of the tree and have just a very thin foliage shell on the outside of the tree. People think that they can just go up and just strip out all the interior foliage on the inside of citrus, but you're really putting the tree on the edge, because all it takes is a little bit of a break in that outer shell of foliage, and you'll get too much sun to the inside. And once you get sunburn, that cambium is permanently damaged, and it no longer conducts water and nutrients, and it can lead to further dieback on the canopy, which opens it up further to sun, and it can set up a vicious cycle of sunburn and then dieback on the outside. And it really puts a tree into what we call a mortality spiral, where the tree is through these various stresses is starting to decline, and it's very hard to pull mature trees out of a mortality spiral. So just be very, very careful with frost-sensitive, sun-sensitive plants like citrus and some of our tropicals that need a light hand when it comes to pruning, and just do it the very, very bare minimum just to kind of keep them in shape. But again, leaving that interior foliage alone as much as you can, because that's critical to the your ability to do containment pruning on the outside if you have a supporting cast of interior foliage. Which
What's
is getting
that?
Me off on a rant here, because which leads me to I just want to mention quickly that I'm teaching two pruning classes at the Desert Botanical Garden coming up in April and in May, one on April 8th, and I believe the other is May 12th. You can go on the Desert Botanical Garden website at dbg.org, dbg.org, and look up the class. And they do fill up pretty quickly, so if you want to attend a pruning class in April or May, love to have you come along. There's only a maximum seating of 25, so get on board pretty quick, because, as I said, the classes fill up, and then you'll need to wait for the next one.
Hearing how it's done helps a lot.
Well, it does.
But seeing how it's done it makes a huge difference.
Yeah, thank you, Rosie. We really major on the demonstration part. It's a three-hour class, and in the first hour we focus on basic pruning concepts. In the second hour, we focus on some demonstration of how to do the basic pruning cuts. And then in the third hour, we actually have a hands-on portion of the class where we actually give each of the students an opportunity to discuss crown cleaning, crown thinning, and crown reduction cuts, and how to make those cuts on an actual live branch with some other classmates. And it's a ton of fun. We really enjoyed it, and I think people take a lot more away, as you said, by actually doing the pruning, and then they can take those concepts and put them in practice in their yard and do it with a little more confidence because they know some of the tree biology behind the pruning cuts they're making, and it's all in all a really fun class to teach.
dbg.org, you can find it there. Did you by chance catch the last hour when we had Jim Cook from the Western
National
Parks Association talking about the Bristol cone pine?
Yeah, I just caught the end of that. The bristle cone is apparently the oldest tree on earth.
We're going to have to make that the tree of the month at one point. I know it's not here in Arizona, but we got to highlight the fact that our neighboring state, Nevada, hosts the oldest living tree. We've got to feature that one at some point.
Yeah, it's 5,000 plus years old, and the oldest one, they say, is actually they haven't disclosed its location for just so people stay away
obvious from reasons, yeah.
For obvious reasons, but yeah, they're an amazing tree and quite a scrubby little thing too. It's only probably 15 or 20 feet tall, and it's all gnarly and windswept up on the slopes of the Sierra Nevada. Or somewhere.
It looks 5,000 years old when you see one.
Yeah.
They're pretty cool.
What was that term you did? Something decline?
Mortality.
Mortality
decline. Spiral.
That's what it is.
This
I like
one
that.
Has, yeah, it doesn't have any. Most of the causes of mortality, these mortality spirals are human caused.
They're human caused, and sometimes they're animal caused. If you are in the mountain part of Arizona and you're dealing with deer that are eating your tree leaves causing mortality spiral, or you're in the desert lower part and you're dealing with rabbits that are putting smaller plants into a mortality spiral and you want them to just go away, well, remember that. Go away, deer and rabbit repellent by our friends at Bonide, made out of hot cayenne pepper. How many times have we talked about cayenne pepper for animal deterrent? Well, Bonide took that and put it in their go-away deer and rabbit repellent. You can put it on fruits, vegetables, citrus. It is completely safe around people and humans. And it comes like everything in Bonide in multiple different applications, liquids, powders, granules. Whatever the application need you have, they've got a solution for you. You can find Bonide all over the state and at local nurseries.